everyone. We wanted to tell you about a new show we are loving, the Culture Study Podcast with Anne Helen Peterson.
It's a show about exploring the nooks and crannies of the culture that surrounds you. Each week, Anne and a super smart co-host answer listeners' questions about the stuff they find interesting and perplexing, like, why do clothes suck now? Is Paw Patrol propaganda, or is it not that deep? And what's the deal with everyone I know getting a divorce?
Like Anne's tremendously popular newsletter, the Culture Study Podcast is funny, insightful, and kind of weird. And it's guaranteed to help you become the most interesting person at parties. Listen to the Culture Study Podcast every Wednesday, wherever you get your shows.
This podcast is free. And it's accessible to everyone, thanks to support from listeners like you. If you value this show, please consider supporting its production by donating to our home, KUOW. It only takes a minute to give, and you'll be helping to support the production of this podcast. Make a donation at KUOW.org or follow the link in the show notes. And thanks!
Megan's a little bit scary and she yells at adults.
For sure.
And I am quivering.
Got him. Boom, roasted.
Zombie cannibal vampire monster.
What a bunch of chuckleheads.
I hope you don't have plans to spend time with literally anyone else.
Text me back.
Text me back.
Text me back.
Text me back at once.
Why won't you text me back?
Text.
Text me back.
Text me back, Megan.
Welcome to Text Me Back, a podcast about all the ladies independent throwing their hands up at me. I'm Megan Hatcher-Mays.
And I'm Lindy West.
On today's show, we are very excited because we have a special guest who goes by the name of Ben de la Creme, a super iconic drag queen from RuPaul's Drag Race fame and being from Seattle fame and other fames.
So many fames.
So
truly.
Many fames. And she's going to teach us how to be gay icons while rolling in that Social Security money. Actually, the reason I want to become a gay icon is because I don't think I'll have any Social Security money. And I just want all of my neighbors to find me iconic and donate to my GoFundMe. So we're going to be talking about that and playing a very special game of FMK Plus.
It's the only thing we like to do.
That's all we do.
Ben de la Creme is probably the most charming person I've ever met, but there's two other charmers on this show.
That's right. But Lindy, we are very charming and we proved it last week, didn't we? In our live show.
We did a whole live show to a screaming audience of 700 plus thousand fans at Town Hall Seattle, and it was so fun, and thank you so much to everybody who came out.
Yay.
To see us, and if you weren't able to be there, I hope you listened to last week's episode, which was a broadcast of that live show. And Megan and I have really been riding the wave of joy and accomplishment and supersonic power ever since that show, and we have felt like unstoppable charm machines.
Oh yeah, untouchable comedic demigods, really, like just dazzling all that we met during the time we spent together in Seattle last week. It was stunning and horrifying all at the same time.
Yeah, I really do think of myself, and this is one of the ways that I get through life, because I am a bad-brained person who generally lets people down, but then I make up for it by being so charming that they can't help but love me. Mm-hmm. I recently was looking at my high school yearbook. Who's surprised by that? I was just sitting around reading my high school yearbook, and I found an entry from my dear, sweet math teacher, Miss Farmer, and I had her, I think, all 4 years, probably. She wrote this long thing in my senior yearbook that was like, "Dear Lindy, I'm really going to miss you. Really going to miss hearing all your hilarious stories about why you were late today and why you couldn't do your homework and why you deserve to turn all your assignments in on the last day of class and why I should give you extra credit so that you don't fail. And boy, you sure are one of a kind." Like, it was basically like, you didn't do shit in any of my classes for 4 years, and yet I love you. Yeah, I just had to give you a B-, you know? You earned it, kid. Like, apparently, I don't even remember this. Apparently, I would write her long, hilarious letters begging to pass.
Oh, my God. And that worked?
Well, I think she would like, make me do a bunch of worksheets and stuff, but yeah. But like, she would let me turn stuff in late. So that's sort of how I've gotten through life. Mm-hmm. And then it was really confirmed at the live show that, yes, that's correct. Everyone loves us. Our charm is unstoppable.
Two, like, unstoppable charisma demons. It's like, oh, just coasting, not doing anything, just being like, could you really say no to this? You know what I mean?
And, exactly.
And then the answer is we found the one person. Yeah, we found like the one lady who is completely over it.
After the live show, Megan came out to my country house where I live for the weekend. And we were having adventures right and left. It was amazing. And one of the days we were like, let's go on a hike. We hop in my car, my Hyundai Santa Fe, and we are tooting along. I get a little ding ding from the car that says tire pressure low, rear right tire pressure low. But it said 26, which is not good. But
yeah,
there's really not a lot of options. Like, we're just in the woods. So
it's literally like a 2-lane road with trees. Chock full of trees on either side. There's not even very many places to pull off. So I was like, that should be enough to get us like a gas station at least.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Right. 26? 26 is a high number.
Yeah.
We didn't really have a choice. We got to just cruise to a gas station. So we're cruising. And then I hear a ka-chunk, ka-chunk, ka-chunk. Just as we're cruising, there's a part of the drive into town that's my favorite part. It's so beautiful. You dip through this little valley. It's all like maple trees. They're mossy. There's like hanging moss. And that's where the fall colors really pop off. Not right now. There's a little babbling brook. It's gorgeous.
Fairy tale stuff. Okay.
It's Rivendell.
Yes.
And so we're going through there. I hear ka-chunk, ka-chunk, ka-chunk. I say, what's that? What's ka-chunk? What's ka-chunk, ka-chunk? Because I will say that when I've had a flat tire before, it like... This is unnecessary information, but I feel like usually it like affects the steering. It sort of pulls the car to one side, but this was just as it was only a sound. So I was like, it's not normal though. So we sort of pull over onto like a mini shoulder. And since this is the beautiful magic valley of Rivendell, Elrond said no cell towers in Rivendell. There is no cell service.
No, there's no one you need to call. Just sing. No. A 20-page long epic poem, and maybe one of us ancient elves will show up to help you. So we tried that. It didn't work.
I tried, look, Megan, I tried gazing into an old silver bowl.
Nothing.
With just a shimmer of water in the bottom. Nothing. It didn't work. So no one, it did not connect to AAA. So
no, roadside assistance cannot be contacted through Palantirs, is what we discovered. They don't have the ancient seeing stones.
We're sitting there on the side of the road, very narrow shoulder, and we get out and like, indeed, the tire is completely flat. And we're sort of like wandering around in circles, parentheses forlorn, around the car, around it, around it, around. And we're like, what do we do? Do you know how to change a tire? I mean, technically, I did. Sure. I have done it. Like
in 2003.
Right. When my dad was alive and helped me. Like, so we're kind of like, okay, what are we going to do? Like, there's not even like a house that we could walk to. And if there was... No. It's spooky. It says trespassers will be shot, whatever. Survivors will be shot again. Then we're like, okay, first of all, we're going to have to do this ourselves. We're going to have to be big girls and do this. Mm-hmm. And we can do it. And we
big, powerful women.
Will do it. Yeah. We're BPWs. And but then we're like, this shoulder's too narrow. And like, it was like mushy. Like it was like a mud shoulder. Yeah. So we're like, we're going to just drive a little ways up the road. And hopefully there will be I knew there was a place coming up that was a little bit wider to pull over. Side note. Just before we pull away, we look down at the ground at our first shoulder and discover some remnants of the killer. The killer has dumped his tools here on this first shoulder. There is a hammer and a pair of rubber gloves that are sort of stuck to the hammer. And like, it didn't look necessarily like there was blood on it, but there was orange stuff that I think was rust, but
I will say it did look more like rust, but it is just weird for a random hammer to just be out and about in the woods like that.
Dumped on the side of the road. And the gloves, Megan, the gloves, the combination is unsettling. Although if this was the killer, it was amateur hour because toss it 10 feet further,
like, down the ravine, idiot.
Come on.
You know,
but I will say if you think that we should call the sheriff and report the killer's hammer that we found, DM us on Instagram at textmebackpod. Please, will you?
Do that. And we also have a new phone number that where you can both text us and leave us voicemails. The number is 703-829-0003. And you can text us there and leave us actual voicemails. So let us know what you think we should do about this hammer.
Yeah. I genuinely want to know if I should call the Jefferson County Sheriff. I'm desperate to know. Okay. Back to our main A story. Okay. So we pull the car very slowly down the road to the next shoulder, which is a real size shoulder. We pull all the way over onto it. Then we once again resume our task of pacing around and around and around the car, trying to figure out what to
do. Sort of like waving the phone around, seeing if we can get a single bar.
Yeah.
And it didn't work.
Meanwhile, Barry the dog is in the back seat like, hey guys, what's up? Hey, you guys have any meat?
I don't know if you heard, but I've demanded my one walk per diem and you have not delivered.
Okay, so then a beam of light, a shaft of light blasts down from the heavens. Our savior has come.
In a Mazda Miata. Not on horseback, but a Miata.
He rode his Miata all the way from heaven to come help us. This little Miata says, beep, beep, pulls over, is like, hey, you girls need any help? And it's a man and his wife, Tracy and Lorraine.
Yes, that's them.
The man is Tracy.
Mm-hmm.
And they're probably like in their, like maybe around 60, late 50s.
Yeah, that sounds right. Mm-hmm.
Which is so funny because that means that they're like kind of just like a decade older than us.
Yeah. Quick side note. That's one of the worst things about aging. He's like, oh, it's like an older guy who's like in his 50s. And I was like, I'm an older guy in my 40s. Like, why am I saying that about other people?
Oh, no.
Anyway, please continue.
This elderly peer of mine, he pulls over. He's like, you guys need some help? And we were like, yeah, we got a flat tire. We're just trying to figure out what to do. We don't have service. And he's like, oh, I can help you with that. Pulls over onto the shoulder. And then he hops out. He's so excited to help us, Tracy. He's like so enthusiastic. He's having the time of his life. It was on St. Patrick's Day. He was like, luck of the Irish that I passed by to help you girls. He clearly like loves to help girls in distress, but not in the way that the killer might.
Very unlikely that Tracy is the killer. And maybe we can just have a chit chat with Lorraine while we're figuring this out. Lorraine stays rooted to the passenger seat of the Miata, her arms physically like shut down, arms completely crossed. The body language is giving, I wish you both would fall into the ravine. And I was like, and I really immediately, I was like, this will be our greatest charismatic challenge.
Yes.
Ever.
But we were.
and you gave it your all. You really did try to win Lorraine over.
We felt so confident coming off the heels of the live show. We were ready for this. This was our moment to shine. And like, Tracy is being such an angel, like just bustling around. He finds the spare tire, which I never would have found because I forgot that it's like suspended under the belly of the car with a secret nut that you have to find under a secret flap. So he's like doing his business. He's lying down on the ground on a tarp. He's in pain. Yeah. His knees hurt.
By the way, a tarp that he brought. Like it was his. Like he had it in his Miata. And I'm like, I'm so sorry. Thanks, Lorraine. I'm so sorry that, you know, to like pull, and thinking that she'll be like, oh, don't worry about it. Cause that's what I would do as a normal person.
Right.
And Lorraine just starts going,
she
like growling.
Didn't even respond. Like both of us, like I waved at her and tried to give a charming little beep boop, sowie. Oh my God, thank you so much. And she just didn't say anything. And like, by the way, the top's down. It's not like, it's not like she's enclosed in the Miata. She's basically just sitting on a bench 20 feet away.
That's correct.
And so we keep checking in with Lorraine being like, oh my God. Because also Tracy had a hard time figuring out how to do the like spinning the jack thing. So he was doing it in a very inefficient way and none of us really knew how to do it. We figured it out at the very, very end how to do it so that the jack didn't take 4 hours to go up and down. But it was too late by that point. Yeah, Lorraine was over it. And so I start being like, oh my God, Tracy, I wish we had something to offer you. I wish we could pay you. And he's like, oh no, this is great. You know, it's a small community. We got to help each other. Boop-a-doop-a-doo.
Yeah, well, and he was bringing up, like to your point earlier, he was bringing up other times he had stopped and helped people. He's like, I love to do this. It builds up my good karma because then when I'm in trouble, people stop for me. And he's like talking about how this is all just contributing to his like karmic wealth into the universe. And I was like, wow, that's so nice. Meanwhile, Lorraine is like, I just was like, what is happening? And I just kept being like, I'm so sorry. And she's like, go to hell. Like so angry. And I was like, it seems like you have a problem with Tracy. I'm sorry. We didn't even wave you all down. He just pulled over. And she was so mad.
She was so mad. And like, he told a heartwarming story of one time he was riding a motorcycle and his motorcycle broke down. And then a man drove by who was a motorcycle mechanic and then fixed his motorcycle. So he was very clearly, he was specifically like, I am paying it forward. Yeah. Now you two need to help. Now you two can help someone in need next time. We were like, oh, absolutely not.
Which I won't, but they, yeah, sure.
But so I'm grasping for some way to make Lorraine happy because I am so baffled when I can't charm someone and make them smile. And I was turning my like fire hose on her. Like I was like, I was doing all my tricks and it wasn't working. So then I was like, oh, I was like, I want to give you something. Oh, I know, Tracy, I have a Snickers. You want a Snickers as a thank you? And then he goes, oh no, I shouldn't do that. I might turn into Danny DeVito. Do y'all get that reference? And I was like, are you asking if I know who Danny DeVito is? And he was like, no, there's a Snickers commercial where a guy eats a Snickers and he turns into Danny DeVito. Which is not what happens.
We were both standing there trying to be nice, and I'm thinking to myself, that's not right. It's the other way around. The guy's hungry and he turns into Danny DeVito. He eats a Snickers and he turns back normal. But I won't say anything because this person is helping us. I was like, oh no, for sure. Lindy, it's so good because then you're like, Lorraine, do you want a Snickers?
Lorraine, do you want a Snickers? Thinking, maybe that will make Lorraine smile. And then Lorraine says, Megan, do you want to deliver Lorraine's famous line?
She goes, I'd like to get back on the road. And we both were like, I see. Charisma rejected. And my whole world has been destabilized by it because this never happens to me.
Hey, Lorraine, are you sure you don't want a Snickers? You kind of turn into the killer when you haven't had your Snickers. Like what?
You're a real homicidal maniac when you're hungry.
You're a real kayak dad when you're hungry, Lorraine. Hey, Lorraine.
Oh, God.
You're a real Richard Ramirez when you're hungry.
Oh, Jesus. And he liked candy.
That's true. So, he would have taken the Snickers.
He would have taken the Snickers.
A Snickers couldn't have cured him. He tried.
Anyway, it was crazy. So shout out. So then we really were like, I was afraid to say, can we Venmo you? Because I was like, do they know what Venmo is? But that's probably ageist of me. So then I was like, can we buy you lunch? Can we do something? And then Tracy just was like, you know what? I'll take a high five and a go Mariners. And I was like, all right. It's sold. So I did it. Yep. So we high-fived him. Said go Mariners, and then Tracy and Lorraine ragefully Miata'd into the horizon. And then Lindy and I were like, had all this pent up, unused charisma. We were like, we have to go find some people to use this on.
Yeah, we had to go torture every barista and every coffee stand on the peninsula.
Right. We did.
Okay, I want to say, lest people think that, you know, perhaps Lorraine's only child was about to give birth and they were racing to the hospital. Perhaps Lorraine had a actively spurting wound. We confirmed with them that they were doing nothing but going for a beautiful St. Patrick's Day drive in their new Miata.
Right. That's right.
They were just out for a drive. That's it.
Tracy was just like, I just got this Miata and I want to put some miles on it. And I was like, what is... Lorraine, why are you so mad? Is this not part of it? As I mentioned, the brook is babbling. Why are you upset?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, man. Spoiler alert.
As someone who lives here, you're in the most beautiful part of the drive and you get to pause there. Who gets to pause there other than the killer when he's dumping his hammer? Just you, Lorraine. Maybe that's why she didn't want to be there, because she was like, I'm too close to the scene of the crime. So she's the killer. Right. She was like, I gotta get out of here.
And we were holding her in place until we called the Jefferson County Sheriff. In your face, Lorraine.
Yeah.
You should have taken that Snickers.
So anyway, that was like, I would say the main adventure of the weekend. I almost don't remember the hike at all, but we did go on it. We did go on a hike, but we didn't get there till like 4:30 PM. And then we were like, it's going to be dark soon.
Yeah. And then you had to get all four tires replaced at a cost of $700.
Yeah.
Which was just like the final indignity, I think.
And that, you know what? I'm charging that to the killer as well, because I just got these tires in November.
Yeah.
But the man at Les Schwab, who was very nice, by the way, was like, it's not the tread. It's that it looks like you drove too far on this tire when it was completely flat. It has a line on it. We wore it down in a place that cannot be fixed.
Yeah.
And because we had to drive from the killer's little hammer shoulder to all the way down the road to our bigger shoulder. Yeah. So I wore it out, and then I had to get all four new ones. Basically my fee for this episode is going straight into Daddy Les Schwab's beefy pocket.
Speaking of $700, Lindy, I've thought of an amazing idea.
Oh, what's that, Megan?
What if we launch a Patreon so that people who support this show with their ear holes can support it with their wallet holes as well. By the way, this is not a bit. We are launching a Patreon. If you're listening to this, that means it's already launched. So you should go, you can find the link to the Patreon in our show notes. You can find the link to our Patreon on our Instagram at TextMeBackPod. And the link to our Patreon is patreon.com/TextMeBackPod. So go there, and we hope you'll support the show. We have three different tiers, and you can go see our what goodies you get for each tier on our Patreon. And we really hope you will support the show, because why, Lindy? We have another announcement.
Yeah, so some kind of actually, not serious, but businesswoman type of business announcement. This is our last episode with KOW. We are consciously uncoupling, but we're still best friends. But our contract is up, and we are heading over to Patreon. We're going to try to do this ourselves. We have tons of ideas. We have tons of unreleased material that didn't make it into the show. And we're just really excited to spread our little wings and see, you know, we love KOW so much. They were a perfect incubator for this show, but we do have some spicier and sillier things to say. And there are just some limitations when you're working with public radio. Like, literally, we work for the state of Washington when we make the podcast at KOW. And when you're a public employee, you can't say, like,
and you've been wanting to. You've been trying so hard.
I've been trying. So no hard feelings. We just felt like we were ready to fly free and spread our wings. However, that means we need your help and your support through our Patreon so that we can bring you all of the hilarious goodies that have been cut out of the show because we were too gross and stupid.
Well, and also lots of new stuff. So there'll be like Text Me Back After Dark, which is just like a quick tidings session between Lindy and me. So other like special exclusive videos and bloopers and all sorts of fun stuff. We're hoping to set up a merch store as soon as is humanly possible, so you can buy a t-shirt with our heads on snake bodies. Like, who doesn't want that?
Honestly, like, from the audience side, not much is going to change in terms of how you get the podcast. It'll still be in all the usual spots. We're just going to migrate the RSS feed. You can just keep being a subscriber and telling your friends, and you'll be receiving it in your little phone every week, just like normal.
Podcasts will still be free to listen to, but we would love your financial support in making it so we can keep it very special for you, because you are special to us.
Yes. And also KUOW is special to us.
And KUOW is special to us. And we really genuinely could not have made the show without Brandy and Jeannie, who we are both looking at right now, two queens of the industry. And really the only reason we feel comfortable making the show ourselves is because we have learned so much from the two of them. So we love them and we will miss them. But we're super excited to bring you to sign our Declaration of Independence, kidnap the President of the United States, put on our special Benjamin Franklin sunglasses, and make this podcast on our own.
Speaking of ultimate charmers who deserve a constant IV drip of $3, Ben de la Creme is up next. I am all a tingle to announce today's guest, iconic, internationally beloved producer and performer, possibly best known for her two unforgettable runs on RuPaul's Drag Race, first on season 6, where she won Snatch Game by playing the Dowager Countess from Downton Abbey, and then again on Drag Race season 3 of All Stars, where she won Snatch Game again by playing comedian and character actor and animated rat, Paul Lind. It's Queen of Hearts, Ben de la Creme. My favorite person ever. My first question is, why on earth did you agree to do this? You're so famous. Why are you here?
This, are you kidding? This is an honor. I mean, Lindy, as you know, I've been like a Lindy stan nerd since 2007. So it's a no-brainer.
That's longer than I've been a Lindy stan.
Wait a minute.
I mean, I mean, your movie reviews in The Stranger were like one of the, like when I first moved to Seattle, that was like one of the first things that I really like hooked into. And so I've been loyally following you. And every time I talk to you in person, I get really like nerdy and nervous. So
Are you kidding? I feel the same way. I always feel like you and I are locked in a terrible purgatory where we see each other. One time we manage to have a meal, but other than we just are like, let's be friends. And then like, it just is, we just are never in the same place where I don't know. I'm just so honored to know you. And I want you to know that I would have infinite meals with you. Lest you think I am avoiding having more fried rice with you. I think about it all the time when we had fried rice. And that restaurant is now closed, but.
Oh, well. Oh,
R.I.P.
Not shocking that just only because Seattle's rapidly changing restaurant landscape is hard to keep up with.
It's true. But thanks for being here.
Yeah, thanks for having me. And Megan, I don't know you as well, but I'm excited because I'm about to become a stan.
We're about to become best friends. So get excited.
I know a lot of your opinions on Oregon Trail. Yes. So that is helpful.
Yeah, we don't know each other, but I know you from watching you on television because I'm a huge Drag Race fan. My good friend Brian got me hooked on Drag Race, and I think your season was one of the first ones that I watched, and I was like, I love her. She's awesome. So this is very thrilling for me. So thanks for coming.
Well, thank you.
Megan? Parentheses dimwitted. Do you want to start us off?
I do. Thank you, Lindy. Okay. Ben de la Creme, my angel, we are so happy to have you on the show. We love you so much, as we've established. As Lindy mentioned, you are an icon and you are internationally beloved. And here's something I've been wondering about, and I feel like you're the perfect person to ask this to. What do you think makes a person a gay icon? Like, what are the necessary ingredients to make a person a gay icon? I feel like there's many paths a person could walk to become one. I have some theories myself. I'm asking because this is my retirement plan.
Okay, great. Yeah, no, let's lay this out for you. Let's get a 10-year plan going. The way people throw around the word iconic, I don't think it takes much.
Right.
That word is sorely overused. But when it comes to actual queer, I don't know. I think there's many possible factors, but to me, I think that it's really about outliers, folks who like sort of find their power in the thing that makes them different. Like, I don't know, when I think about the people that really inspired me when I was young and like when I was a kid and I wanted to do drag, they might not be like typical queer icons, but like the people, the characters I gravitated towards were like Wednesday Addams.
Yeah, exactly.
Christine Taylor's version of Marsha Brady.
Yes.
Like, the people who were, like, freaks and, like, disdained, but that exact thing that they were disdained for was what made them a powerful individual who didn't give a fuck about any of the rest of it. I feel like that's very, I mean, I think that's why people gravitate toward drag queens, is because it's, like, you know, the same thing that we have been ridiculed for, usually in our youths, is the place we derive our power. And I don't know, I think... To me, I think that's a lot of it.
I think that's right. Yeah. I had like a couple of thoughts. One was like the Judy Garland method, where it's like you overcame a great trauma perpetrated by a man and you can sing. But then there's also like, I think very specifically like Angela Lansbury as Jessica Fletcher and Murder, She Wrote as a gay, as like a queer icon. And that's like not the same path, but it's like she's a mystery writer in Maine, but you get the sense she can sing. Like, is that the ingredient? Like just a vague sense that this person's been on Broadway that makes it.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, I think that's a wonderful, like that's so much of camp too, is when like the person who's the actor and what you know about them informs how you relate to the character. I think that, I love that. You know, she was sort of had those kicky little pants that she would like bike around town in and, you know, super assertive, like a sensible length hair. Like I feel like, absolutely. Yeah. She's got it all going on.
She didn't take a lot of guff, you know?
She's got like a literary like Katharine Hepburn vibe.
Yes,
Katharine Hepburn as a mystery solver.
I think so. Yeah,
that's so true.
Okay, so there's like the Judy Garland method, can sing and is always like being like, you thought you saw the last of me, fellas. Well, guess again, Mr. Mayor, like that sort of thing. And then there's like is probably gay but had to hide it. That's a little bit more of a Paul Lynde vibe, you know. And the way my friend Brian described it is like flamboyantly in pain, which I thought was so poetic. I was like, yes, that feels like part of it.
Paul,
you know, the mystery writer in Maine, of course, which I thought I really think I might be able to nail.
I think that's maybe the one for you because you can sing, Megan.
I'm okay. I'm decent. And then there's like, is problematic and a huge mess. Like, I feel like being a mess is like a big part of the pie, but is occasionally incredibly on point. And that's like the Azalea Banks path to iconicry, you know?
I feel like I mostly know about Azealia Banks putting her foot in her mouth. Yes. I didn't know how she redeemed herself.
No, very rarely. Sometimes she'll just say something. Okay. She's sort of the classic broken clock. Twice a day, she is absolutely correct. And the rest of the time, it's very unsettling.
I need to be following her more closely, but I still think that...
No need.
No, I don't. No, okay, never mind.
Good.
I take it back. I'll check in with you guys every once in a while and find out if there's any updates. Yeah. But I do feel like... The Jessica Fletcher feels like the way to go for you. That feels like, are there a lot of murders whenever you travel?
Well, not yet. But don't you kind of feel like Jessica brought the murder with her? So I feel like I could cultivate that for sure. We've been talking a lot about the killer on this show. I think that we could work on that. I do have a bike.
There's a fair number of murders in Washington, D.C.
That's right. I could be solving those. I could be out there solving those right now. And I'm not, you know.
You live right next to that murder park.
I do.
You live next to a murder park?
Don't you live next to the park where Chandra Levy was murdered? Yes, I do. Anyway, it's not funny when it's a real murder.
No.
So I think that, like, I think, yeah.
Sorry. I think you're right, Ben de la Creme. I think I'm going to take my bike, I'm going to take my typewriter, and I'm going to take my murders, and I'm going to hoof it to Maine.
Yeah, I love it. Use the secret to manifest some more murders and make it happen.
I'm confused about where the part is where, like, all the queer people find out about you. Seems like you're just in Maine riding your bike.
Well, I need a TV show, too, I think. I don't know.
Yeah, it's like it's a Truman Show situation as well, is that all of this is documented, but you're unaware. Yeah.
Oh, great.
Great.
Sold. Okay. Into it.
Right. We figured it out. We cracked it. What is going on with you right now? What are you working on? What are you excited about? What's happening?
Oh, woof. What am I? So You know, the past couple of years, I still perform all the time, but I've been moving more and more into like the writer, director, producer role. And that's been exciting. And like, I sort of started out of necessity, just because when you're a control freak, it turns out you just need to produce your own work if you're going to be in charge. So it's kind of started that way, to sort of escape the RuPaul industrial complex. You have to kind of like create your own offshoot. And so, but I've really discovered that I have like a knack for it, and I really love it. So I've started doing a lot more writing and directing. I just co-wrote and directed Monet Exchange's new solo show that she premiered in Edinburgh, and she's about to go on tour with that. I don't think it's been announced yet, but maybe it will be by the time you're listening to this. And Jinx Monsoon's show next year at Carnegie Hall, I'm co-writing and directing for her. And I've got a couple sort of like secret projects that I can't talk about right now. But it's one of those things where people are like, what are you doing? And my answer always used to be like, I'm jet setting off to here and there or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I am going to Australia and like soon and whatever. And so, but now I'm like, well, I'm actually like sitting at my house on my computer a lot. Yeah. But I'm very excited about the results that I can't necessarily reveal all of right now. But actually, I'm going to be in Seattle soon. I'm going to be there for Pride. I'm doing this gay Pride cruise with Visit Seattle, and it's going to be on May 30th. Just a bunch of drag queens performing on a boat, celebrating our Pride. So,
okay, because I was just going to ask, because I don't do anything or go anywhere or go to events or engage with the world or have curiosity, and I live in the forest. So like, what happens on the boat? Is it like a boat with a stage on it, and there is just like a full show, and then people stand on the boat and they have drinks and they scream and party and it's funny and fun?
I mean, I think you're supposed to say what happens on the boat stays on the boat, but yeah. Essentially that.
Yeah, I don't mean to violate Pride Boat Club. Wait, that's Las Vegas.
Pride boat confidentiality.
You know, people drinking on the waters, trying to like having to try twice as hard to stay upright. Like, great. That's basically the vibe. Yeah.
Amazing. I love that. Get your tickets now.
Okay, we're going to play a game in just a minute, which I'm very excited about. But I feel like we must hit the serious siren for just a moment since we have you. You know, we want to acknowledge that it's difficult right now for the queer community. It's very difficult for drag queens. Like, the world's worst people are coming at you guys left, right, and center because you sometimes like to read to children, which I can think of no greater crime. And I think we're just wondering how we can support you and your community and your art. Like, what's the best way for people who are not deranged to support the queer community right now?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I think so much of it is what we're really battling is public perception, you know, and so I think so much of it is the way that we can support many of the communities who are disenfranchised right now, which is to speak up. Sometimes it's really obvious. Sometimes people are just straightforward awful. And then sometimes people are just sort of slightly misinformed or maybe disengaged. And I think that, you know, the real work of an ally is oftentimes disrupting those little moments. I also see that, you know, currently with the way that drag is commodified and celebrated in a more mainstream kind of way, it's really important to realize that if you are enjoying the work of a community, you should also be supporting that community. You should also be wanting that community to live fully and richly and feel safe and supported. So it very much is a money where your mouth is thing. If you enjoy watching drag queens, be it live or on television, then you know, support those drag queens in the real way and encourage other people to do that as well.
Sold.
1000% sold. Thank you for that.
Coming up, we play a little game of FMK with BDC.
It's time for our big game. We're so excited to play this with you. We are going to play a rousing game of F, Marry, Kill, but we've added some special categories just for you.
This is stressful. All right, I'm ready.
It is stressful.
It's stressful Because you know what? It's high stakes.
That's super high stakes. Because you're going to actually have to literally do all of these things with the people that you pick. I don't know if our producer explained that to you.
Yeah, it's an oral contract. It's an oral contract and it's legally binding.
Mm-hmm. I am a lawyer and, you know, so therefore this is binding. Okay, we are about to play F, Marry, Kill. There's, of course, F, Marry, Kill, which is in quotation marks because we don't want Fox News to be like, deranged drag queen threatens homicide on girl podcast. So it's in quotation marks. It's not a real murder. That one's not legally binding. Hurt their feelings. Freaky Friday mind swap. Do karaoke with in which song? You kill a spider and then have to listen to them condescendingly explain that spiders are good, actually, because they eat bugs. Give a drag makeover to their hair becomes your wig. Those are the categories. Lindy, would you like to share the contestants?
Yeah, absolutely. And we tried to tailor these contestants a little bit to some things that we know about you. So we've got Paul Lynde, the legend. Of course, Uncle Arthur on Bewitched. Of course, very near and dear to me, Templeton the Rat from Charlotte Club.
Yes.
You know, super contestant on Hollywood Squares. We got Maggie Smith. I would say in or out of character as Dowager Countess.
Yeah,
you can decide.
Either way.
Maggie Smith the person, Maggie Smith the Countess. We've got Weird Al. And I am told that you were a Weird Al super fan as a child.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
As was I.
Maybe still am to a degree.
Yeah. He never has done anything wrong, ever, you know?
He's done a lot right. Yeah. And I will say that Weird, the movie that came out a couple years ago, Weird.
Yeah. I didn't see it. Was it good? No.
With Daniel Radcliffe, right? Isn't, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
It is so unreasonably good. And go in knowing nothing about it, because
so
I did. And it is a delight.
Okay, that's what
I'm doing tonight. I've reignited my love for him.
What's your number one Weird Al song? Is it Like a Sturgeon? Is it?
It's definitely not Like a Sturgeon. That one never spoke to me so much. I when I was very young, I had a couple of friends, and I'm talking like probably 10 or something. I had a couple of friends, and we would get together, and my friend Matt had a VHS recorder, and we would make music videos to Weird Al songs.
Oh, I love it.
The one that I remember feeling most proud of was Addicted to Spuds. So I'm going to go with Addicted to Spuds.
Yes, very good. Very good.
First of all, where are those VHSs? Please locate them. Anyway, next is Latrice Royale, because I, as I said, am weird, and I watch shows about archaeologists digging up ancient huts. And I've only watched one season of Drag Race except for yours, which was season 4. So I picked Latrice Royale as one thing I remember loving from that season.
She kicks ass, so it's a good pick.
She is a phenomenal queen, and a really she's just exactly the human being that you want her to be too. She's a delight.
I get that vibe from social media. It's just when we first did this, Megan had put like 9 Drag Race superstars, and I was like, well, this will just be you two talking because I don't know anything.
I mean, I have to say also, you might have to explain some of them to me. I was on the show, but I do not watch every season of Drag Race. I don't have months on end to watch every single part of the Drag Race cinematic universe.
That's fair.
That's like me. That's like, I haven't read anyone's book. Sorry. Again, I'm watching British TV from the 70s about digging up a Roman aqueduct.
When there's an Antiques Roadshow RuPaul's Drag Race crossover, Lindy will be there. She will be seated, you know.
I will be auditioning. I will be a veil. Okay, we got Danny DeVito, who I've been told is your one true love.
He is. He's the love of my life.
Okay, can you give me in 3 words, why is Danny DeVito your one true love? three words.
Puppy dog eyes. It's those sweet, sweet eyes. It's you know, especially when he's younger, like in Taxi, it's like they're like all dewy and he just, I mean, he looks like a Keane painting.
Yes, he does.
Really does. He looks like a Precious Moments it's, figurine.
He's just adorable. Even when he's like playing the penguin, I'm still in.
Yes.
Still would smash. Okay, next we got Elijah Wood, Frodo from Lord of the Rings, and your teenage crush.
Yes. I feel like I grew up with Elijah Wood and Macaulay Culkin. Yeah. Like the two of them, I felt like, you know, it was like there was a sort of kindred thing. But, oh, yeah. Just the way that he sort of adorably kind of like stammers, but somehow with like gravitas. Like he commands a room while tripping over his words, and it's just, it's endearing and inspiring.
So the crush really was on Elijah Wood, not on Frodo, just to clarify.
No, it was not on Frodo. Okay. It was on Elijah Wood. Okay. But also, you know, I was like, he was a childhood crush when we were both children. Like he was an age appropriate childhood crush for me, you know, which is rare.
All right. Next, another cutie, the Heat Miser, because famously you love Christmas. This is one of the bad guys from the 1974 TV special, The Year Without Santa Claus.
Which I have to say is, I think, one of my least favorite Rankin-Bass films.
Yeah, it's not that good.
I mean, and that's saying a lot, because overall, while they're all endearing and timeless, none of them are especially good.
Yeah, they're all extremely weird. The plot, very paper thin. Totally bizarre. But yeah.
Sort of a leaden pace throughout. Yeah.
But I would say both the Heat Miser and the Snow Miser get two really kick-ass songs.
And I think they are queer icons.
I think so. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
Is it queer-coded to be able to magically set things on fire?
Oh, are we just doing like a straight up flamer thing? Is that what's happening?
I've made it offensive.
We did a quick homophobia.
I don't think you did. I think the original, the source material made it offensive. Oh. And you're deconstructing.
Yeah. You're doing film analysis.
Okay.
Yes.
Just because we're all Seattleites, we had to throw in a little nod to local heroes. So we chose, get excited, One Term Bearded Seattle Mayor Mike McGinn.
Woohoo!
A cherubic cutie.
The first person people think about when they think about Seattle.
One time I was driving my car on Capitol Hill and there was an old guy teetering on a bicycle so slowly in front of me. And I was like, hurry up. And I almost ran him over with my car. I was like, who does this guy think he is? The mayor? And then it was.
Yes, he does think that.
It was Mayor Mike McGinn. And finally, we have one more character who is near and dear to me and Megan's hearts, which is the Balrog from Lord of the Rings. He's a fire demon. He lives in the depths of the Mines of Moria. He's sort of a holdover from the last age when Morgoth really ran roughshod over Middle-earth.
Bendela, you recall the previous age.
Yes, I'm with you. Yes, 100%. When Morgoth did all that stuff. Man, Morgoth.
Look, here's what you need to know. He's 50 times the size of a man. He has horns. He's a demon of the old world. He has a whip made of fire. Mm-hmm. And he lives in a pit.
I've seen a picture of him, so I can, like, aesthetically, I know what we're talking about. The personality, yeah.
He doesn't have much of a personality. He doesn't, he's not got a lot going on.
I mean, his personality is just, you know? Okay, Bendela Creme, are you ready for your legally binding FMK choices?
Is there an option?
No.
Okay, great. Then let's do it.
Honestly, I would love it if you were like, I'm not doing this. And then you just close the window.
I am incredibly ready.
All right.
All right. Bendela Creme, who are you effing?
This one's tough. I have to say that there are so many options. And I really, there are a few of these that I think sort of had to become default ones because of how strongly I felt about other ones.
For sure. That's the curse of the game.
For sure. Yeah.
This one's a little awkward because she's a friend of mine, but it's it's largely by process of elimination, but I'm going to go with Latrice Royale. I think she'd be a very gentle lover.
Yes.
I think that she'd be a thoughtful lover. I think she'd be a good communicator in bed, and I bet she'd be a little bit of a freak. Oh, so yeah. I think she's, you know.
I that love is that
such
choice.
An adorable choice. I love
oh my
it.
Gosh. Oh my God.
I mean, she does have a lovely husband, Christopher, who is also a wonderful musician. So, you know, I'd want to make sure that I have Christopher's blessing, of course.
Yes, of course. All right. Who would you like to marry?
Danny DeVito.
Yes.
I feel like yes. I feel like I've already expressed everything that needs to be said about that.
I think that would be such a cute little marriage. I would love it if he does break up with Rhea Perlman, knock on wood. I think you should get right in there. Swoop right on in. Swoop
or
right in.
Thruple.
Which I'm there for that. Absolutely. I mean, I don't know that she and I would necessarily have like the same connection, but I do feel like we could be like really bonded sister wives.
That's right. Yeah, totally.
I can see it. It would be so cute. I can see the two of you in the kitchen in the morning, like making coffee, just having a cup of coffee. You know, your little meatball's still asleep. You're talking about his little quirks. That's
your
cute.
Little but meatball. No,
actually, let's get her out of there. You deserve, you know what? You deserve full one-on-one time with your doe-eyed prince. So, you know what?
Thank you so much. Yeah. All right. Okay. I think we'd be very happy together. I think so. It would be very like a two cats in the yard type of situation.
Yeah. Who are you going to figuratively kill, but not really? Maybe more just like a kick in the butt.
Here's the thing. You gave me an easy out because only one person on this list is already dead. So I'm going with Paul Lynde only because there are no repercussions.
Yeah, that's true.
It's not because I would want to kill him were he alive. Yeah. It's because you gave me a loophole and I am taking it.
Nobody in right-wing media can get mad at us for that.
Good. That's such a good answer. What's next? Oh, hurt their feelings. That sounds mean.
I'm going to go with Heat Miser because I'm largely indifferent to how he's doing, but also he's like, he's a tough cookie. He and the Snow Miser are like duking it out on the daily. So, you know, it's like, he's kind of accustomed to, I mean, I'm not saying it's good that he's accustomed to sort of an abusive dynamic, but I would just be like a drop in the bucket, you know?
Yeah. You're the least of his worries.
That's right. He's got a lot
Most
going on.
Most of these answers I'm realizing are about avoiding the question.
It's okay. It's all right. Okay. Freaky Friday mind swap. You're swapping bodies, your brain into their body and vice versa.
This was another one that was super tough because, again, by process of elimination, I wound up with the person that I actually think it would be the least significant with, which is Weird Al, because I actually think we're probably deeply similar.
Yes, and I think he would enjoy that. I think he would love that.
Like, I'd be into seeing sort of the more subtle nuances between how we approach life and how we think about parody lyric writing. But also, he's like, you know, he's so well established. You know, I'd like to have that experience of getting to sort of like look back and be like, ah, I did it.
Yeah.
You know,
that's nice.
He really did it.
How knowledgeable are you about curl care? I imagine
I can help you with
that. He must have a whole routine.
Yeah.
That must be a lot of upkeep.
Yes.
Right?
It is.
Those ringlets? Yeah.
And they always look pretty wet, too.
Yeah.
They always look wet.
You need a curl cream. You need a mousse. You need a diffuser, you know? He probably only washes, like, every, like, 2 or 3 days, though. So that's better, you know? But just so you know. Yeah. It, for when this happens.
Did you ever see that show where he's, oh my gosh, now I'm like blanking on all of it. But the actress who played Pat on Saturday Night Live.
Oh, yeah. It's Work in Progress?
Yes, Work in Progress. And he plays, like, he's like normal, like his like offstage persona is that he's deeply boring.
Yeah, normal Al.
I found that if you really take your time in the produce section, you know, really look around and investigate, sometimes get some help from the produce guy because they're knowledgeable. You know, can save some time. Anyway, you do all that, chances are you're going to wind up with a pretty good variety of fruit.
If we Freaky Friday'd and then that turned out to be the case, I would be deeply disappointed, though.
It's not like that would be you hanging out. It would just be suddenly your career would be destroyed.
Yeah, he would tank my career.
Like, all of a sudden, Ben de la Creme is going on tour playing accordion? Okay.
I would have nothing to return to. I would have to live out my days as normal Al. I would never want to like pee in that fountain or screw in that light bulb or whatever our inciting incident was.
I mean, I smell a film pitch, by the way. This is a screenplay that we're writing. Mm-hmm. Megan, what's next?
All right. Do karaoke with and which song?
Dame Maggie Smith. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And I think if we're doing a duet, I want to go classic. I want to go Summer Lovin'.
Oh.
I want to hear Dame Maggie Smith as Olivia Newton-John.
Yes. Okay.
Meet a boy cute as can be. Summer days drifting away, but those summer nights. Right? That would be great. Yeah.
I just want you to know that I would empty my 401k to see that. Absolutely throw myself into destitution to watch that for 3.5 minutes.
I think all the time about how I really hope somebody showed her my impression of her. I wish I could know that for a fact.
Okay. Well,
she's still alive, right?
Yeah.
She died?
Oh, yes, very much so.
So there's still time.
There's still time. If any of these listeners have a connection to Dame Maggie Smith, please.
No doubt someone listening knows her personally, for sure. Okay, this is one of my least favorite things that people do. You kill a spider and then you have to listen to them condescendingly explain that spiders are good, actually, because they eat bugs. You want a bunch of bugs in your house? Then don't kill spiders.
Okay, this one, I feel like it has to be Elijah Wood. It would be the most adorable monologue. Right?
That's true. That's right.
I would love listening to him explain the value of spiders. Yeah. That would be, it would go on forever. It would be like emphatic yet gentle.
He might win you over by the end of it, you know?
I would never kill a spider again if Elijah would ask me not to.
Megan, what's next?
What's next is give a drag makeover to.
Oh, Mike McGinn. I always like politicians as drag queens.
Yeah, that would be fun.
Oftentimes it's like revenge, like I like the idea of putting like conservative politicians into drag as like some sort of like I always thought doing it to Mike Pence would be really great because you'd sort of release something within him or something, you know. But Mike McGinn would just be like, you know, it would be fun.
Yeah.
It'd just be like a fun little, like, here's a little gift for you. Thanks for your service. Enjoy.
And finally.
And I love this part of the game because I can see who you picked for this. And I'm so happy. Their hair becomes your wig. Who do you pick?
It's the Balrog, of course. That was one of the easiest ones. Like, total, like, Maleficent vibes.
Yes.
Like, so... Just like I would love to enter the room with like flaming Maleficent horns.
I mean, can
you imagine?
Can we make it happen?
Can we?
That's a Drag Race runway that's never been done.
No, nobody's in the Balrog. Somebody needs to get on that. I think that Sasha Velour wanted to do Gollum for Snatch Game, but they wouldn't let her because of intellectual property reasons or something. So I feel like that's the closest we ever got. But man, I would, another thing I would empty my bank account for, really. And like, if like a fiery whip, I mean, you can't put a price on that. You really can't.
Oh yeah. It's like, it's got the Catwoman element. Mm-hmm. It's got it all.
Ugh, what an excellent,
it's got it all.
Excellent choice. All of your choices were incredible. I am so grateful that you came to play this silly game with us. It was very funny. And my face hurts from how much I loved it. It was so great. So thank you so much.
Well, thank you so much for putting such careful consideration into curating this list.
Yeah. It was our pleasure. We love you very, very much.
We love you.
Oh, I love you guys. Thank you.
It was a real honor to have you be here, and you're welcome anytime. We'd love to send you anything that you want. Do you want you want my dog? You can have my car. I would do anything for you.
Wow.
It's true.
All right. Well, I'm going to start. I'll make up a short list. Thanks. And send it along to your producer. And yeah.
Send us a little invoice. Yeah.
Thanks, Metalogram.
Thank you guys so much. Thank you for having me. This was very fun.
Well, Megan.
Yes, Lindy.
We did it.
We did.
It's the end of season one of Text Me Back.
That's right. It's like, it's not the series finale. We're not doing that thing where we're entering... We're emptying the house and we turn off the lights and then the music goes... Ta da ta da da da. and like ends. It's not that. It's just a season finale, and we're ending on a cliffhanger. Who yeah. killed Freakaconda?
With the hammer.
With the hammer.
I know. I have been wondering, actually, the hammer, should we be mm-hmm. Googling Jefferson County hammer murder unsolved?
I will not be doing that. I don't want to know.
You don't even live here.
I know. I'm not worried about it.
Scared.
Yeah, you should be.
But it wasn't just the live show that really had me riding a high on my own supply of charm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I also had another mega charm experience, which is that I was on the podcast of Dr. Sanjay Gupta of CNN fame, and he had me on to talk about being fat and sad. I guess it's actually a really good interview. You should go listen to it.
It's called Chasing Life.
Yes.
And you did such a good job. It was really good. And you charmed the freaking pants off of Dr. Sanjay Gupta. We're like Dr. San Babe Gupta. You guys had chemistry.
Look, Megan, the chemistry was off the charts. You could cut that chemistry with a hammer, Megan. And no, it was actually really delightful. I was really nervous to do it because I'm scared of doctors and usually they're mean to me. And also, who wants to be on a podcast? It's stressful. But then it was actually really fun. And I made Dr. Sanjay Gupta cry because I told him that when you're skinnier, people are nicer to you. And he didn't know that.
Yeah, he didn't know. No one told him.
It was like, honestly, so sweet. And I feel like we're best friends. But I received a piece of fan mail about the podcast from a man.
Oh, I'm going to stop you right there. I don't like it. I don't like it.
I'm going to read that email to you next week.
Next week.
That's right. Hot on the heels of Lorraine, I found the second person who was impervious to my charm. His name is Gerald, and next week I'm going to tell you his incredible advice that he had for me.
That's right. Next week on our independent podcast, Text Me Back with Lindy and Megan. I hope you'll tune in next week. And check out the Patreon, please. Patreon.com/textmebackpod. And remember, you can call us and leave us a voicemail message now. And you can text us at 703-829-0003. And we might play your voicemail if it's funny. Try to be funny, okay? Please.
I bet we will play it because we're going to be hungry for content. Also, we have some really cute little rewards ideas. But if you have ideas for, you know, as a listener, something that you would love to see as a Patreon reward, you should send that into the number as well. Please let us know.
703-829-0003. That's episode 20 of Text Me Back. Thank you, KOW, for everything.
KOW, for everything. Thank you, Jeannie. Thank you, Brandy. Two dukes unaffiliated with the aristocracy.
Two independent, democratically elected icons of our hearts. We love
you. Truly. And thanks to everyone who worked on the show at KUOW. We really would never, ever, ever, ever have gotten it together to make this show without you.
So true. Thank you.
I'm really, really glad that it exists. And I'm glad we got to have so many soft, sweet hands rocking our cradle as we learn to walk.
And now we're falling out of the tree of life. I don't know. Anyways, see you next week.
Wherever you get your podcasts. Thank you so much for listening to Text Me Back. If you like the show, please tell your best friend about us and rate and review us. It helps people find the show. Text Me Back is a production of KUOW in Seattle, a proud member of the NPR network. Our editor is Jeannie Yandel. Our senior producer is Brandy Fullwood. Our mixer is Jason Burrows.
Diana Bowen makes our video clips, and they are delightful. And I'm not just saying that because we're in them. Go enjoy them at TextMeBackPod on Instagram and TikTok. Our production team includes Michaela Giannotti-Boyle, Amelia Peacock,
Alicia Villa,
Brendan Sweeney,
Hans Twite,
and Marshall Eisen.
Our music is by Chief Ahamefale J. Oluo.
Special thanks to our perfect angel, Isolde Raftery.
I'm Lindy West.
And I'm Megan Hatcher-Mays. See you next week.
At a time when information continues to come at us faster and faster, sometimes you need to hit pause and rewind. NPR's Throughline takes you back in time to the source of the news stories filling your feed. Find NPR's Throughline wherever you get your podcasts.